Have you not cleared it since the last debacle?
Would I? It says that I have 18 hours.
Why don't you just clear it as like a preemptive measure, you gigantic idiot? No, it's called learning from your past mistakes.
And I've learned to check how many hours are left, and there's 18 of them.
I would probably clear it before we're at the one. Probably even before we're at the five.
Okay, but we're at the 18.
Okay, I'm just saying.
It's like a golf course. 18 holes. Don't. I know you're trying to come up with a sex joke. Don't.
I have several working holes.
God. Welcome to The Obscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Brenna. And today we're talking about Reddit mods. Tell me about your favorite and least favorite subreddits. that are SFW.
That's what I was waiting for. Okay. My favorite subreddits. I don't know. I have a whole list of them that I go through. I don't know that I have a favorite on like a given day.
Oh God, Jordan, I'm going to need you to like come up with one. All right. I have a bunch of favorites, but one I really like now, or one of my favorites is, that might be how you can pivot an answer.
I tend to like ones that are kind of about things that I'm suddenly interested in. So like I'm super obsessed with Severance, the new TV show.
Okay.
So like I enjoy the Severance subreddit because there's just tons of discussion about like trying to figure out what's going on. Like when Westworld first came out, it was this kind of same kind of thing, like people trying to like figure out what the story was really about and what was going on behind the scenes and all that stuff. So I like that kind of thing.
So you like to keep it current. So it's your favorite ones tend to be newer things you're interested in as opposed to the ones you've always been following.
That's like, I mean, I find more interest from those ones because it's like new content, yeah. I'd say, right? I do enjoy the ones that I've been part of for years and have the same jokes. At some point, they get a little old, but, you know, some of the sports Reddits are actually pretty fucking funny. And they're like the meme culture that comes out of it is pretty amusing. At some point, it gets a little old, but it's still pretty fun. I have a few choice politics subreddits that I'm going to decline to mention on which ones.
I know which they are.
Oh yeah, you do. As well as some, this one I'll be a little more explicit about, some, let's say, anti-populist subreddits that I enjoy.
I was going to say, you're being pretty secretive for someone who's not been at all secretive about what our social, like, political leanings are on this.
Yeah, no, that's
podcast.
Fair. Yeah, no, I like the neoliberal subreddit. Come at me, leftists. I like Enough Sanders Spam and those subreddits, which isn't really about Bernie Sanders. It's more about populism in general, because I have a populism problem. But that one's also, those ones are kind of more fun because it's like people I agree with, and even when they're mocking people that I don't necessarily find agreement with, it's more mocking people who, like, the humor is about like people who we feel like we're on the same side of but just don't agree with the motive agree with the approach, I should say, not the motive, versus like the just constant anger about things in the world that you can't control, because that gets old after a while and I'm tired of that. Least favorite subreddit, so you want me to do that too?
Yeah, you can just give one or two.
Yeah, well, it's like those ones are all hidden from my front page, but probably politics, like the general politics subreddit, because it is an infestation of teenagers and Russian bots, and I cannot handle the mass attention on stupid things like forgiving privileged white kids college loans constantly and things like that. Like, I'm done with that. So yeah, that's the bulk of it.
Okay. Have you ever moderated a subreddit?
No.
Would you ever moderate a subreddit?
No.
Well, Jordan,
are you talking about subreddit moderators?
I know I've buried the lead here a lot and you're probably scratching your head over there what we're talking about, but yeah, today we're talking about Reddit mods.
I haven't moderated a subreddit, but I have been part of forums in the pre-Reddit days when we had internet forums and Reddit wasn't the omnipresent solution for that it is now. I would, as a young teenager, basically moderate those, and it was the worst thing that I've ever done in my life. So, bar none. So I'm interested to hear about the experiences of modern day moderators, because I can only imagine it's gotten worse.
You mean mod mods?
Modern mods.
Mod mods.
Yeah.
As we're changing mod the episode pizzas. Title. So I have, you know, you and I are very familiar with Reddit. Most people are, I think, by now, but there's still like plenty of people who don't use it. So how would I have a, you know, a general description written down, but I'm curious, how would you describe Reddit to a non-Reddit user?
It is the world's worst website filled with the occasional bright spot of content. How's that?
How I would explain it is Reddit is a network of communities, otherwise called subreddits. It was founded in 2005, and you can basically join any of the subreddits that interest you. But like Jordan was saying, anything that kind of, you know, goes along your interests. There's a Seattle and a Seattle, Washington subreddit. So wherever you live, usually that's a separate, you keep your, you shut your mouth.
Or a conservative, you have one for each.
You shut your mouth. I know it's going to be hard for you not to interrupt me on this podcast. So if you can just, you know, think before you speak, think before you manterrupt me, that would be great. But within each subreddit, you can either be what they call it, a lurker or a poster, or a lurker or a
contributor.
Yeah. So basically you can just do what a lot of people do. You just scroll through the content, or you can submit posts. It could be text, articles, videos, memes, whatever. And then other people can up or downvote them. And that's what kind of leads to their popularity or lack thereof. And, you know, the topics, as Jordan mentioned, range from arts and crafts to politics and religions. And I think
to lunars,
as we've mentioned before in the sub, the topics and the subreddits can get incredibly niche.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say is, as of September 2021, Reddit was the 19th most visited site in the world and 7th most visited in the US.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Like, all joking aside, like, I think Reddit as a social network is, there's a reason why it's the only one I use today. And that is because it is a pull model, right? Versus a push. In the case of Facebook and really in Instagram and TikTok and I think Twitter, if really when you think about it, like all of those things, yes, you can like choose things that you like or endorse or whatever, but the algorithm pushes content towards you, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's designed specifically to get you continually engaged. And I'm not saying Reddit doesn't have
those options,
that
but you
kind
can
of shit. But yeah, but the idea is you are selectively saying, I'm interested in woodworking. I'm interested in, I probably should say this because I'll probably do a podcast at some point, but like on double-edged shaving, right? Like you can get super niche or you can get super broad. I'm interested in basketball. I'm interested in, I don't know, whatever's on the pop, you know, like on this giant anime or video games or whatever it is, right? And you, so you can consume the information you want to choose, which is really nice. It still can be manipulated, let's be real, by foreign or external actors or whatever it is. But like, but I think that is kind of the nice thing about the model. And it's why I have stuck with it since like 2007 or whenever the Dig migration happened.
Yeah, you have been a long time user. You're a rare kind of, you were an early adopter of Reddit.
There was like two phases. There was the actual early people. And then there was the group like me who came over. There was this website called Dig back in the day, which was kind of the big like big news and media site where you would go to see like what are the top articles of the day. This was before like Facebook had a news feed, right? And so it was, and people would, just similar to Reddit, you would dig something, so you would essentially like it, and that would drive it up to the top of the Dig list, right? And anyways, at some point they did what was called like Dig 2.0, and it just blew up the site. It was awful to use. Everyone hated it. And so there was a mass exit from Dig over to Reddit, and Reddit basically capitalized on that moment and just made itself like, hey, look, we're the good alternative. Like, we have a much better user interface. We understand you, because it was really nerd focused shit. Like, yeah, you know, there was a lot more nerd content available. And then it kind of entrenched itself as the default option to the point where now it has wiped out every other internet forum in existence. And for the most part, and now it's permanent.
Yeah. And I will say, like, the very first time I jumped on Reddit, I was like put off and I didn't get it, because I had friends who talked about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't get it. So if you go there the first time, you're going to be taken to what's called like the front page. And this is where kind of the algorithm and the amalgamation of like all the popular posts are just rising. And Reddit is nicknamed the front page of the internet. But if you start curating your feed and curating what you follow, then you start joining the subreddits. And you can still go to the front page, but then you're going to find the content you're more interested in. And then you can also sort it by like popular, rising, controversial, brand new. So you're seeing all the new posts that haven't been engaged with as much. So yeah, I huge Reddit fan. It's how I end every day.
Yeah, I spend a little too much time on it.
Yeah,
yeah. Agreed. But yeah, are you going to talk a little bit about like the? Because I think what is unique, I mean, assuming this is where you're going, right? But I think what is unique about Reddit is that in the other social media platforms, the algorithm determines like what is the algorithm or corporations determine what is approved and what's not approved and the rules of everything. Right. And that's not the case in Reddit.
Do you want to host this episode?
No, I'm asking you if that's what you're intending to talk about.
Good segue. Yeah. Yes. By the way, can I interrupt? You keep looking.
Looking for a book my sister got me. And I just, as soon as you said that, I spotted it. It's called We Are the Nerds. And it's a book that's like the history of Reddit.
Is it the history of Reddit? Because I've seen that, but I didn't know it was the history of Reddit.
Oh. I mean, it's more or less a history of Reddit. Yeah. Which Reddit has its own controversial history and past, but yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So, good point about how the moderators work. So they're all volunteers, and don't mouth. Thank you. You self-assured son of a bitch. So they don't work for Reddit. They're unpaid volunteers, and, you know, separately Reddit has about 500 paid employees, but it's something like tens of thousands of volunteer mods. So what moderators can do and what their responsibilities are is really creating and enforcing the rules for their subreddit. It really comes down to this self-policing policy. And I found a good analogy online where Reddit is like the US. So you have these guiding principles that apply across all of Reddit, like no hate speech, no bigotry, blah, blah, blah. But then within each subreddit, you can create and then manage your own self-governing rules.
Yeah, it's federated is what you're saying. And that's, I haven't thought about it that way, but that's a really good way of thinking about it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what they'll do, they'll review the community posts and screen the feed for any banned or deviant activity. Some mods, and you'll see this in some subreddits, they actually approve the submissions before they get posted live. So it kind of helps curate the subreddit, which is controversial in and of itself. They answer questions from new users, they lock completed or problematic questions or threads, and then they can remove users and spammers from the community. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Some of the controversies there and how do you identify who you remove. What mods cannot do, they cannot ban, remove, or delete a subreddit. They cannot delete posts or comments in the subs they do not moderate.
Right.
So just the ones they're in. They can't edit any submissions made by users. And there's still a layer of anonymity, so they don't know who's reported something on their subreddit or subscribed or voted on the different posts.
They can see like if you message them directly, they can see that, right?
Yeah,
but
of
not,
course.
But yeah, but not yeah. Just general activity. Yeah.
And so to become a mod, you have to either be promoted by a current moderator or found your own subreddit, which is really easy to do. And if you're going to be promoted by a current moderator, you usually need to be a very active member of the community. So providing a lot of material on a regular basis. And I'll just kind of close out, you know, this high level summary here by saying, reading a quote of one of the analogies, you know, kind of explaining how the different subreddits can look. So from an article, it says most subreddits, once they hit a certain size, develop their own rule book. No two are alike. You can have a Game of Thrones subreddit that doesn't allow memes, serious discussion only, and then a completely separate Game of Thrones subreddit where memes flow like the Dornish Reds. Some are ruthless about formatting and style. Others couldn't care less.
Yeah, it's funny because I know exactly what the two subreddits are.
When you
it was the Game of Thrones subreddit, and Free Folk was the other. It was the name of the other one.
Oh, is that because I do go to the front page sometimes and I've always wondered what free folk is. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. So free folk is a term in Game of Thrones for like a group of people. But they, you know, as the term would imply, like they don't believe in being governed. Right.
Yes.
And so when the Game of Thrones subreddit, like from what I remember of the drama, because a lot of this, I feel like a lot of these like spinoffs always happen because of moderator and contributor drama, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I think what happened was, I maybe misremember this a little bit, but like the Game of Thrones subreddit got super anal about like the type of content that they wanted, and people wanted to do memes and funny things, and the subreddit became very serious about the discussion of the TV show, and that was already a spinoff subreddit of the A Song of Ice and Fire subreddit, which is the book version of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right. And so then naturally what happened was somebody created a free folk community, which was like, we're just going to make fun of the Game of Thrones people as well as post our memes and stuff. And then there was another one that occurred afterwards. And I can't remember the name of that one, but it was a spinoff of Free Folk because for those of everyone who's seen the end of Game of Thrones, it was, let's say, controversial at best, widely disliked and eager to be mocked. And basically even the memers in the Free Folk subreddit kind of split into those camps, and people wanted to basically just shit all over the show. And then other people didn't want that in their subreddit. And so like there became a division there. So just like in society, we all start at this broad level and then we start finding our like more narrow niches to disappear into.
Yeah. It's a microcosm of society and of this podcast. And you alluded to it earlier, but I think it'd be interesting too, because you know the background, the Seattle versus the Seattle, Washington subreddit, like, you know, the history of that. I don't have it in here, but you can give a brief and not super intense nor animated summary.
I don't actually like, I mean, I do remember there was this, I think the top moderator of the Seattle subreddit, I'm just calling him out. His name was Careless, U/Careless. And I don't remember the exact context, but I guess a lot of people had issues with him. I interacted with him once on that subreddit and he was fine with me, but some people had issues with him, like, and I guess felt like he was power tripping or like purposely deleting posts or something. And I think there was something where he was like advertising or like using his powers as a moderator to like promote like his or his girlfriend's business or something. I don't remember exactly what the context was, and I'm sure one of my friends in particular is going to message me after this and scream at me about what it really was, but it was something that caused a lot of drama. And so a group of users spun off and created the Seattle WA subreddit, and that was like, we're going to make a better version of that Seattle subreddit that doesn't have Careless in charge and blah, blah, blah. And so there was a big division. And initially I feel like a lot of people thought the content on the Seattle WA subreddit was actually a lot better. And I used it for a long time more than the Seattle subreddit. Careless then eventually stepped down from the Seattle subreddit. And over time, for some reason, the Seattle WA subreddit got infiltrated by your right-wing meme lords and bots and whatever else. And it started to like take a hard right turn. And so people kind of started retreating back to the old Seattle subreddit. And now you've got these like, you've got one subreddit for Seattle, which is like liberal to sometimes over the top leftist. And then one subreddit that is essentially Trump land. clearly not. Post it. Clearly, a lot of the posters don't even live in the Seattle area, but they're taking opportunity to make it, you know, rail against the liberal Seattle sub city. That's Reddit.
That's Reddit in
a
nutshell.
Full Reddit right there. Yeah.
And last thing I'll say before I go into some stories from Reddit mods is it also varies how many mods per subreddit there are. So some have just one or two, some have dozens. And I'll say the top sub in terms of moderators in 2020 was r/worldnews. Guess how many moderators it had?
Oh, I don't know. Like 24 maybe?
103.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
103 moderators, but it has 24.1 million subscribers. And I mean, it's world news. So shit is being posted every second of every hour of every day.
Yeah. And that, I mean, the interesting thing about those ones in particular for me has always been the, when they become that prominent, right? Then they're just like any other
social media site.
Yeah. Or yeah. Media stream channel. Like there's actors of some sort, right? See an opportunity there, right? And so it's clear whether Reddit wants to admit it or not, and they probably don't, because to them usage numbers look good whether or not they're real humans or bots. But like there is intent behind a lot of the posts that are get driven in a lot of those big subreddits, especially political ones these days, right? And so I can imagine like you need moderators because there's so much content that is trying to get pushed through there. On the other hand, I'm guessing you'll probably have a little bit to talk about this, or maybe you won't, but then the question becomes, who are the moderators who are choosing the content, or like being selective about what content gets passed through the gate, so to speak, right?
Well, I do have that covered. So next time, perhaps, instead of underestimating me, you will estimate
this,
me.
This is the one flaw. That's a good one. This is the one flaw with our format where, like, we don't have a, like, one of us is completely in the dark of like, what we're talking about the script. And I'm just going to, like, jump ahead to places where you already were planning to get to. So I apologize.
Yeah, this is the one flaw.
The only one. You're welcome, America / world news. By the way, you know my favorite thing about Reddit is it is when like two subs, like somebody claims the name of a subreddit that isn't what you initially think it should be, and then somebody reverses that, right? Like the marijuana subreddit is r/trees.
Yes.
and then the subreddit for people who like trees is r/marijuana enthusiasts.
Is it real? Yeah, oh, I didn't know that.
r/marijuana enthusiasts is that I think at one point I thought it was world news, but in one of the like major news sites, for some reason, it's gotten overtaken with porn. Like, and if you look at through like their subreddit, like you would imagine world politics, maybe, I can't remember what it is, but it's just porn. And so somebody created like r/anime titties or something, and that's the actual like world politics subreddit. Like,
I have no idea. That's amazing.
But that's like those like small culture things that you just have no. If you're on the outside, you have no, it's all inside jokes, right? Like you have no perception of what's happening otherwise.
Yes.
I'm going to look this up while you're talking though.
I like inside jokes. I hope to be part of one day. All right. So moving on, I am going to cover some stories from people who have been mods on Reddit. So the first person I want to talk about is Robert Peck. He was a moderator of r/aww.
Okay.
r/Pokemon and r/PartyParrot. And they were pretty, you know, aww and Pokemon are two of the more popular subreddits.
That, yeah.
So I'll just start with a quote he said, which I thought was interesting, but he said, quote, "There are plenty of people who think Redditors, gamers, and as internet denizens are people who live in the basement, socially isolated heaps. I'm a university lecturer. One of my closest mod friends, u/mocktoon, holds a senior position at a major chain restaurant company. He's also among the cleverest people I know. We argue about which foods are best. He's always wrong. I am always wrong. We argue over who is more wrong. He ranks sour cream above fruit and says alligator is the best meat."
That's wrong.
That's very wrong. So I think his point there was to disprove that first statement that a lot of people think Redditors are and gamers are people who live in the basement. And I don't know if he really did much too.
I don't know if that's how I heard what he was saying, but I also agree with you anyways that Reddit is full of basement dwelling nerds. So
as a basement dwelling nerd yourself.
Yeah, it's a plurality, sure. But yeah, we have a prominent presence on Reddit.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the case of like, I feel like a lot of these, like nerd culture drives a lot of the internet still. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Like it started as a nerd activity that there's maybe I'll try to dig this up so you can share it on our social media at some point. But there is this old clip that I used to love from the Canadian Broadcasting Channel in the 90s. Maybe I've shared it with you. I can't remember, but in this clip, it's this Canadian broadcaster, like journalist, talking about this new thing called the internet, and it's always named the internet, not just or maybe it's yeah, he has this weird way of talking about it, and it's they're interviewing all sorts of people and you know, random people like, yes, I go online and I pay my taxes, I talk to strangers across the world.
Well, do you remember how novel that was? I mean, yeah, now we're taking it as a side ramp, but like it was just AIM, right?
Or yeah.
And you know, that was kind of my introduction to, you know, random messaging apps online. And I think, you know, the first, what do you call it? The chat room.
Yeah.
You go in with strangers and you hit left and right.
And you
ASL,
get groomed.
ASL. Yeah. And I'm like, cool. 12F. Here's my longitudinal latitude.
Yeah. Come
What's
on
up?
Over.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think like how much that's evolved. Like that's all we do now, basically. Like,
yeah.
And I can both distinctly remember when that was kind of a novel concept.
Yeah. It's weird for me that my son, like, it's weird to think like my parents' generation did not grow up with that. right? And it was a weird transition for them, like, because we were the one, like, people my age and or people who were, like, super into the nerdiness were the ones that were, like, discovering and determining the outcome of that, this new culture. But then at the same time, like, my son is going to grow up in a world where internet is, where internet, where the internet isn't just a normal thing, right? And, yeah, it's bizarre. But yeah, like, I think what I was trying to say is basically that, yeah, there's so much nerd culture at the heart of the internet, for better or for worse, and often for worse, frankly, that places like Reddit used, like, even as it grows in popularity, like you said, number seven
in the US, 19
seven in
overall.
The US, right? Like, that's a huge website, clearly, but the fact that the front page is still filled with things like video games and anime things and r/awe of, like, kitten posts and whatever else, right? Like, it's not necessarily like a lot of the culture is still driven at that, from that core nerdiness, and not necessarily from something that's a little more broadly appealing. You know,
or maybe nerdiness is more broadly appealing, yeah, than you think it is if it's that popular.
That's probably true. I think I joked in a previous episode, like, nerds won, and it's kind of true, right? Like, what the biggest movies in the world are constantly fucking comic book movies, right?
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, that's fair. Like, it is probably cultural dominance that I just, as someone who grew up where being a nerd meant being pushed into a locker still, like, oh, yeah, it is weird to reflect on that now, as to see the culture change in our favor, our quote unquote favor.
How many lockers were you pushed into?
I did all the pushing.
Okay. So back to Robert. So he got his first mod job in 2014, overseeing the Pokemon subreddit when he was a senior in college. And the community mods had put out a call to their current members for more help. And he applied, stating that he, quote, wanted to bulk up on meaningful hobbies before he began full-time
sure.
work.
Yeah, that's a hobby, I guess.
Yep.
It's full-time work they're not getting paid for, but that's fine.
And so he's, you know, like, what that looks like on a day-to-day basis is he and his peers review every comment that come in one by one. And he said, you know, on the awe subreddit, people don't always submit pictures of kittens and puppies. Mm. Sometimes they post gore porn or threats to find and hurt me. Mm-hmm. My rules are both obvious. Kittens are great. No gore porn, no threats, and designed to prevent misuse of the platform. No social media links or handles, and no spamming. At Pokemon, I block pictures of, say, caterpillars, because those aren't Pokemon, are they? No, they're not.
Caterpie is, but sure, yeah.
Is that a Pokemon?
Yeah, it's a caterpillar Pokemon.
Nerd. And so he also has some stories of identifying spam or zombie accounts, and I'll get a little more into this later as well, but the scammers can include, like, bots, trolls, and propagandists.
Yeah.
And he says you can identify them because it usually starts by them posting pictures that have previously gone viral, like memes or, you know, just broadly appealing type posts.
Yep, to farm karma, as they say.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it'll lead to a lot of upvotes, which yep. will build credibility on the account. And then you can go with your more strategic spamming of others. So, you know, one example he gave is, you know, that there was a user who posted a photo of two dogs hugging over the fence. And when he went to investigate it, it was an 11-month-old account, which isn't too unusual, but they had never posted before. Mm-hmm. So, like, a reasonable age. But the picture was super blurry because it had been uploaded, downloaded so many times because they found it on the internet.
Yep.
And the only comment on the post was just a bunch of gibberish from the poster themselves.
Yep.
So he banned the user automatically just based on that information. And what I found fascinating, maybe you know this, there's actually a gray market for unused accounts.
Yep.
And so these are active accounts with a lot of posts and or comment karma, and they can sell for hundreds of dollars. So Reddit will give mods the, you know, tools to work with, but Robert says, you know, the main line of defense in awe comes down to approximately 20 human moderators and 3 bots. So plenty of spam is still going to slip through the cracks.
Yeah. I mean, I know that for years, every time, like, the Reddit admins make a post about, like, new features or developing or whatever, and to help moderators, you know, curate their subreddits better, it's just ranting about the lack of tools and lack of automation and lack of any sort of presence from the administration, because it's, you know, they really rely on these unpaid volunteers to spend their free hours making sure that r/awe isn't filled with horror porn or whatever else and is instead filled with the kitten content, right? Because Reddit can do it. It's free labor. People are willing to do that volunteer thing. And also for like, there's I can't remember the name of the Reddit, but there's actually the subreddit, but there's actually a pretty good subreddit that does a good job of like exposing and tracking down some of these like bot or propaganda accounts. They do exactly what he mentioned, like the look at post history, and you can usually kind of link and find that like a main account will have the same like 10 posters always posting replies to it, right? And you can see like just even measuring the amount of upvotes on a post versus the amount of commentary, especially, and upvotes in a post in a specific subreddit versus the amount of people actually subscribe to that subreddit, so people would even see it, right? Like it's usually disproportionately huge for those accounts that are driven by bots. One of my favorites recently is the, you've probably seen this one, the user is named IRL our president or whatever.
Yes.
And he disappeared from posting literally the day that Russia invaded Ukraine. Oh, the sanctions hit, I should say, for Russia invading Ukraine. And then I think he just recently started posting again, but it's very clear that like all the bot accounts, there's been a lot of exposure, like all the bot accounts that are clearly linked to his latest posts. So I guess, you know, somehow the rubles went through, but you know, it's like that kind of, it's interesting how much people though have to do the detective work manually because Reddit is refusing or otherwise just like doesn't seem to care about stepping and taking action themselves on that.
I'll get into that a little bit, and I do want to touch on one thing you said about just like the free work. So I'll, you know, skip to a quote from Elliot, who's the next mod I'll get into, but let's see, you know, he's talking about exactly what you're talking about, like the lack of support from home office. And let's see, he says, quote, "It's that volunteerism on the web built around a community of enthusiastic people is powerful. Elliot was good at his job. Some tech giants pay for this work, building content moderation teams, numbering in the thousands. On Reddit, we are close-knit and virtually anonymous. I think about the cliche, you couldn't pay me to do that. For 20 or so hours a week, the line feels apt. You couldn't pay me to mod reddit.com. Imagine that job, 9 to 5 every day behind a screen, weeding out trolls, totally anonymous, yet more vulnerable by the hour for every new racist or sexist person you ban. No, I insist on doing it for free."
That's a really good quote.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, there was a time in my life that I wanted to be a digital forensic analyst. Like, I still think it's a really cool field to like try to solve crimes digitally, right? And but the more I learned about it, and the reason I've since steered away from it, is because it sounds like a miserable job, because most of the time you're looking at images or content of child porn or violence or something like that, right? And that's a lot to have to consume as part of a job. And so I mean, these people are often, I mean, maybe not always to that extreme, but like they're the ones who are preventing average users like you and me from seeing that kind of content.
100%. Like one of the analogies somewhere was, someone said, you know, we're like the janitors of the internet. We clean up the shit other people shouldn't have to see. I mean, I think that's super valid. And I also think, relating back to if it was a 9 to 5, imagine if it's just a job everyone ends up in and you're not going to be passionate about at the end of the day. And I think there's definitely upside and downside to this, but you're going to have moderators who are really passionate about that subreddit, right? More or less, you know, we'll get into
it.
You have to be, right? To do that. So, I mean, with that, it can come too much censorship, right? Or too much rules. And, you know, we'll get into some of the controversy there. So you'll like this section. You'll probably have a lot to say. So the next person I want to cover, he has a pseudonym, not a pseudonym.
Username?
Nope. Going by an alias.
An alias.
Of Elliot. He did
alias
not want to be named.
Show about a spy.
Jennifer Garner. So he is one of Robert's co-moderators. And what I find fascinating about Elliot is he did a lot of research on the Russian bots. So he came across a 2015 article from The Guardian called about a troll enterprise in St. Petersburg, Russia, the now famous Internet Research Agency. And, you know, the article kind of mentioned that the troll's strategy is basically to work together in groups by commenting on and upvoting each other's posts to mimic the organic popularity, which, side note, I didn't know that was like banned practice. And so we have a subscurity Reddit account that I manage. And when I post something, I'll like send it to Jordan. I'll be like, upvote this. I've definitely, I don't know if I ever tell you this. I got temporarily banned from Reddit for gaming the system.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause of, I think it's amazing
that's
sense.
What they catch. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just want people to listen to our podcast.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, everyone obviously does that, right? Like, everyone, like, I posted something, all my friends, I want you guys to go upvote this, right? But, like, that's hilarious. I mean, it's probably the consistency, but again, like, classic Reddit going after the small time crimes over here. But let's let Putin do whatever he wants on our site because it drives organic growth, quote unquote. Yeah.
So what was interesting to Elliot, as a software developer and a mod, was that the trolls worked in teams of three, which seemed like incredibly easy to track. So he wrote a script that would look for groups of users who followed each other around the site and interacted frequently, which spit out a list of hundreds of users. Many were false positives, though, like it was people just going back and forth commenting on the same thread or replying to each other. So he went through manually, and he manually looked for anything Russia related, and he came up with 46 accounts all behaving in ways the article had described. So you know, he emailed the CEO, Steve Huffman, and this is kind of a big, because, and, you know, not every mod can do this, but as Robert described, because Robert was the one writing the article about himself and about Elliot, he said Elliot was a big deal in terms of Reddit mods because he moderated subreddits that totaled over 100 million users. So he's gonna,
a power mod.
Exactly. Yeah. Power mod. He's going to get the ear of the CEO.
Yeah.
So he emailed Steve Huffman with a summary in his list asking if he was onto something. And at the end of the day, headquarters said it all looked like normal activity by regular users. So he refined his script and looked at one specific subreddit. Do you know what it was?
I mean, I would guess politics.
R the Donald.
You know, it's so funny. I forgot that was a subreddit. I literally fucking blacked that out of my mind because it was such a shitstorm of crap all over the front page of the Reddit for the longest time.
And it was banned, right?
It went through. So they changed their whole fucking rule system because of it. So like, because initially the Donald was a meme fucking sub.
Okay.
It was it was when he was running and everyone thought it was a big joke, right? And no one took it seriously. And that was, I mean, this is fucking internet conservatism in a nutshell, right? Like, bunch of people making jokes about how the Donald is the one true God, right? Like, because it was the Donald Trump. No one took it seriously. And then over time, enough people either were influenced by Russian bots or like started to like take the meme seriously, right?
He is the second coming
right.
of Christ.
And then the subreddit over time switches from being one of satire to one where the fucking inmates are in the asylum, right? for lack of a better term. And then it becomes this cesspool of internet hatred and hate speech and whatever else. And they were heavily manipulating the system, which I think is what you're probably going about to talk about. Eventually Reddit, like they changed the rules. So what they did was they invented this thing called quarantining. So back in the day, like either a subreddit would just get banned if it was a breaking policy. And by what I mean by that is when Reddit was getting bad public attention for a subreddit breaking policy. Because if going further back in time, there was a subreddit called Jailbait. I don't know if you saw anything about this.
God,
yeah,
no,
it's as bad as it sounds. So it was a subreddit of teenage girls under 18 in clothes, but pictures of teenage girls.
Cool.
And the argument was, there's nothing illegal about this because it's
Fuck
not
that.
Pornographic.
Fuck
100%.
That. Fuck that.
And it wasn't, and Reddit let it go for the longest time.
Until there was public blowback.
Until CNN had a story on it and whatever else. And then all of a sudden it was banned. And this was the same thing with the quote unquote, the fappening what a Reddit name, but when celebrity nudes were leaked from their iCloud accounts or whatever, that was all fine as well until whoever it was, like
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, J-Law, and ScarJo, and whoever else were affected, started threatening to sue, and all of a sudden those subreddits got banned, right? Like, but anyways, for the Donald, because now you had this like political aspect to it, right? They invented this thing called quarantining, where it's like the subreddit can exist. You guys have to follow the rules, and we're like going to like limit some of the things you do, but you can exist. But because our sponsors are upset about the kind of content in this quarantine state, you will never appear on the front page. So like sponsors don't have to worry about an advertisement on the front page also having the Donald post saying black people are bad underneath it. And that's my nice way of saying what they were posting. And separately, in the actual Donald subreddit, they wouldn't have advertisements either. So what that really means is Reddit gave them a privileged experience.
Where
like, if you were part of this thing, you got a better version of Reddit that wasn't full of advertisements and stuff, because, but it's still allowed to participate until they finally broke enough rules that they completely banned it.
Yet again, a microcosm of society.
100%. Yeah.
So
I hate Reddit, but you know, love I Reddit. Love it.
It's the best worst thing ever.
Yeah.
When he was reviewing the Donald and refined his script, instead of reviewing interaction patterns, what he decided to look for were users who shared suspicious domain names. And he found a user linking to usareally.com, which is a known Russian propaganda site. Sure.
.ru. .com.ru.
/
Great thoughts.
So he emailed Reddit again, but didn't hear back. So he decided one day, and I'm sure you know about this, to write a public post with links to all the accounts he found. And this happened in September of 2018. So the post blew up.
Yep.
And exactly what you were saying. Newsweek wrote about his findings. NBC interviewed him, and Reddit banned the domains he found, along with some of the accounts he had shared. And it prompted him eventually to delete his account because he was getting upwards of like 50 death threats. And, you know, one of the reasons that Reddit mods retire, finally step out of the role, is a job was no longer fun. So I would think that hit the, you know,
that was it.
Hit it for it was no longer being fun.
Former KGB associates showing up to poison him probably didn't help. I assume that didn't happen, hopefully. But what's so frustrating, because I do remember that. And Reddit, you know, I think at the time their statement was, you know, we're continuing to refine like how we discover this kind of activity. And again, it's, they don't give a shit, because all they care about is it looks like more users are on the site. Twitter and Facebook, they're all the same. I mean, like, this is not a Reddit problem. This is a social media platform problem, because they get money if advertisers can say, like, they can tell advertisers, we're going to be seen by a million people. No, as long as Reddit doesn't have to do the research to say, oh, actually, it's like 20 people and 999,000, whatever, let our bots, you know, like, then they don't have to feel like they're lying to the advertisers, and they get all the revenue from that. So it's like they have no incentive to like provide a better experience or to provide an experience that blocks that kind of bullshit, because they're incentivized to sell ad dollars.
Yeah, fair enough. But what Elliot did say, he left one final comment on the way out. He said, you know, that the admins put forth a genuine effort regarding the domains I alerted them to. They're just not very good at it. If a dummy account, if a dummy like me using publicly available data can find it before them.
I think they could be perfectly capable of doing it. I think they just don't want to invest in it. And for everything I just ranted about.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ready for the controversy? I know we've discussed a lot of controversy already.
What is controversial? Yeah.
So this is kind of where it gets into like the censorship and who is moderating some of these larger communities.
Yep.
So some of the top mods review more than 10,000 things a month, and they'll apologize when they have to like take a break to do their like real life jobs. And in 2019, there was a post that went really viral, sharing a simple table that listed popular subreddits in one column and, the mods in another. So it's a slight oversimplification, because subs that are super popular, like I mentioned before, can have dozens to like 100 moderators, of which in this list they are naming just one person. But it led to further controversy because many users felt those mods had too much power, feeling like it's, quote, a cabal of power mods who control everything and manipulate the platform. And similarly, several mods received death threats due to the list. So, are you familiar with Galloboob?
God damn it. I was literally just trying to, I could not remember his name. I'm literally on my phone trying to like, what was his name? Yes.
So Rob Alam Alam, whose username was Galloboob. He's been on Reddit since 2014. He is one of the such power mods mm-hmm. who is named in the list, and he mods several subs. So
several is an understatement.
Several is an understatement. Yeah. I think it's upwards of 30.
Yeah.
And you know, he said, quote, "The first thing you need to understand about moderating is that nobody does it alone. If you show me on one sub and there's 50 people on the mod team, I don't really have a say in that sub." And he said he's not a top mod of any popular subreddit, meaning he can't really do anything unilaterally. I feel like you're going to disagree, but let me get into like his synopsis. So how he got into moderating, and you'll notice, he, you know, he's been on Reddit since 2014, which is kind of late to the game.
I don't know.
Do we think that's a typo in my notes? Do we think it's 2004? No, because it was founded in 2005.
I would imagine. No, I could believe that. Like, I'm trying to remember when I actually, my first, I think it was overstated before. I think I was first on Reddit in like 2010 or so.
Okay.
So I think 2014 is probably still like at a, when Reddit was aggressively growing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so he started like posting while he was at work, and you know, per his account, he said he realized he had a knack for what people would really like, because several of his posts either made it into like news stories and TV mm-hmm. And would made it to the front page, and he became one of the fastest growing users on the platform. And one list says he has more karma than any other user. And as of like last week when I did this research, he had 36.9 million karma. And karma are just like the fake internet points you get for like upvotes, posting stuff, all that. And he said he's seen both the user and the mod side of Reddit's self-regulated rules. And when he was one of the top growing users, many mods would ban or warn him because they thought he was a bot or a corporation.
Right.
And he was the one who made the analogy to being a mod as being a janitor, because he says it can be both thankless and horrific. He said, you know, he's woken up to an inbox full of child porn. He says he's talked with suicidal users. But what you mentioned too, or you kind of alluded to this, maybe you didn't say it directly, but for him, what he was reflecting on is what makes being a Reddit mod different is that they have a username and an inbox, whereas YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, like, it's just a faceless corporation, right? So like there's less of a path to attack. Like, sure, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's a CEO, but what are you going to do with that? You can't like inundate him with like questions, harassment day in and day out. I guess you can, but it's just all going to get filtered out. Whereas the mods are going to see this every day. But there's some controversy around him. He has been accused of deleting and reposting others' content mm-hmm. just for karma, which he denies doing. And once he said he posted an animation of a new Netflix logo that he thought was cool. And instantly the community assumed he was paid by the company. And so the response got so bad that he actually emailed at Netflix begging the company to acknowledge that he hadn't been paid. So what are your thoughts? Because you seem to be like pretty familiar with the Galloboob controversy.
I conflicting thoughts. So the first thing is, I do think it's ridiculous that there are people who have that much power in Reddit, right? Like, I understand it's volunteer. I understand they're doing labor. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think they're doing work that Reddit should fucking be paying people to do for real. And so I think without them, Reddit would be a trash pile more than it already is. So I am thankful for that. But like, at the same time, I think, yeah, having that much power across that many popular stuff, but it's like you are a gatekeeper for large portions of the shit that gets reposted or re-liked or resent in Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Yep. Like, right, I'm not saying Reddit is always the first despite their tagline, but like, you know, regardless, you are channeling, you are controlling the like the kind of content that people see every day, and that's power, like real power. As the 2016 election showed us, if not the last 5 years. So I think it is not good for someone to have that much power in this kind of situation. On the other hand, in regards to like that Netflix thing specifically and that kind of accusation, like, I think there's almost been an over the top backlash to this kind of stuff. Like, I got really into Ted Lasso, as you know, when it first came out, right?
And the
television subreddit had a couple posts every now and then because other people were also discovering it at the same time. And in every single one of those posts, there would be countless people going, this is clearly paid advertising by Apple. Like Apple is all like flooding this, the television subreddit with posts about Ted Lasso just to drive, people to watch it. Right.
Right.
And it's like, that could have happened once or twice, but I really don't think that if they were, it was a very lucrative like dollar spend for them. Mm-hmm. But like, regardless, like it also could just be people were like me, were genuinely interested in what was getting posted, like the show, and wanted to talk about it. And like, we were like growing into it, and you know, just like ended up happening. A lot of people liked it and ended up winning an Emmy for like best show that year. Right. Like the point is like, I think sometimes there's an over the top perception that because some popular shit, especially if it's corporate related, gets posted or upvoted or discussed,
that
everyone is shills. Right. Like the same thing happened during the 2016 election, or the run up to the 2016 election. There was a, and this is going back to my first discussion about politics stuff, but there was a large Bernie Sanders support movement across Reddit, let's say, especially in the politics subreddit, to the point where anytime pro-Hillary Clinton things were posted, this was during the primaries, anytime pro-Hillary Clinton content was posted, it would be accused of being paid for by the DNC or Hillary Clinton. Like it was, and it literally the term shills was like that, that usage on Reddit, like pretty much originates from the Hillary Clinton posts. And so what ended up happening is it created this like super insular community where people who were obsessively on Reddit were convinced that Hillary Clinton didn't have that big of a following. Right. And it, to the extent that anyone was even interested in her, it was because she was paying to make it appear like it was. Right.
She didn't have a big enough following. Let me tell you, just the popular vote.
That's fair. That's fair. But this is the primaries. Right. And so then there was obviously a lot of recriminations and shock when Bernie Sanders did not win the primary. And the same thing happened 4 years later with Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, because again, you know, Reddit is a hugely popular source, but it is not the be all and end all of the United States population, clearly. Right. And it is its demographic segment is very young, white and liberal.
Yes.
Relative to America as a whole. So the point, like what I'm trying to say is like, I think people sometimes over index on how much like corporate interactions have, even as I'm ranting about Reddit not doing things about bots and stuff. Like I do think a lot of time there is just there's actual genuine, that's the word, organic activity happening.
Yeah.
That it's sometimes just because you're not interested in it doesn't mean that it's not something a lot of people aren't interested in.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, the first example I read of, you know, the guy, like how he chose how to ban a user, that's completely subjective information. And, you know, he happened to be right about that one, but you could be wrong. Like Gallaboob when he was up and coming. So like, you know, it's wrought with error. So it's definitely not a perfect system, but, I kind of want to end this on a fun fact, for our listeners. Our podcast idea was originally going to be kind of Reddit based. Yeah. So it was, I remember, you know, Jordan and I had been joking about starting a podcast for a while, and you're like, every white person wants a podcast.
Every millennial wants to hear themselves talk more.
Yeah. Didn't you send me like a tweet where it was like, anytime I see someone from high school, I just say, I love your podcast. I haven't been wrong yet.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
But originally, you know, one night I was high scrolling Reddit.
Shocking.
And I text Jordan. I was like, oh my God, I have the idea for our podcast, because I had ended up on some random ass like niche subreddit.
Boners.
No, found that one
real late at night.
I've been on that one like since the dawn of time.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I was like, let's do a podcast where one of us reads, you know, finds an obscure subreddit and kind of reads it aloud to the other person and gets their kind of hot takes as we go.
What's a dragon's fucking cars?
It was dragon's fucking cars. I was like, oh my God, what is this subreddit? So I thought, you know, it evolved obviously into what we have now, but that was the origin story of our podcast.
Yeah, we had some good, we workshopped it and I think gave it a little more breath than I think like subreddit specifically would have allowed us. But yeah,
yes.
without the weird niche communities that I think you and I both love on Reddit, this podcast would not exist. So here's to you, weirdos who have like 17 subscribers and are posting about things that most of the internet doesn't know about. Without you guys, we wouldn't be talking to you and not being listened to by most people.
Exactly. And that's Reddit mods. I want to make an important correction to something Jordan said earlier. So r/anime titties is actual anime titties. So don't go there looking for politics. The subreddit you want is r/anime_titties. That will get you all the hard-hitting political news you are looking for. So do you have an obscure subculture or a random ass subreddit we should know about, or just want to ask us a question? If so, you can find us on Instagram at Subscurity Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Subscurity Pod, and our website is subscurity.com. You can also email us directly at subscurity@gmail.com. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.